All right, this is March the 31st, 2001, in the Lucy Goldman studio. It's at night here in Los Angeles, about 8:51 in the p.m. on a Wednesday night. No theme music. I had it all up. Was going to play a little Miles Davis. This is my eighth take on this. Nope, I haven't been in the studio working all day, like I said on my website. That was an untruth, but I did not mean to deceive you. I was preoccupied by watching the trial of George Floyd, or watching, that as I should say, the trial of the person that they have on trial for murdering him. I will say right now that that policeman should have lifted his knee up and looked at the situation from a completely different vantage point, but he didn't. And I understand why he did what he did and the rest of them did what they did. That in no way says that they were correct in what they did and can be eternally forgiven for what they did. For what they did is they jeopardized a man living his life. Even though the man was, which I'm going to point out in this webcast, because I am an intelligent man, at least I like to think that I am. I've been talking about how people think because I'm old, I can't think, but I see very well and understand very well what the Hades I'm looking at. Now, let me say this before I start this off. If George Floyd had followed directions, he would be alive today. I'm going to start off by saying that. All he had to do was to comply. Okay, from looking at all the body cam shots, from all the angles and all the views. And, you know, I remember when they started putting cameras up all over the city, I was very skeptical about that. I said, well, are we losing our freedoms here? Are we jeopardizing our rights? Do they see too much? What do they need a camera on every block for? Now I know why. Not only have they put the camera on every block, but they got a camera on every cop. And, man, I loved it. I thought that they just had the video thing going. They said, nope, when you get out of the car on the call, then you start the volume on the video. That's good. And I heard the police engineer talk about how they can store tapes, and they have every cop in this country that got that device hooked up to them is being recorded over and over and over again. And that's what I love about police work. Because if they're going to do it, they're going to do it not only to protect themselves in blue, but they are doing it to protect you. All right? Floyd is dead. And a cop is alive and he's in jail for killing him. And the other two cops will probably be persecuted also. And I say persecuted because I saw them doing their jobs. There's one officer in charge of the thing, and he gives orders to the other officers. That's the way it works. I saw officers being beckoned by individuals to, you know, the people on the street talking about, let him up, you're not right, and all this stuff. But no, I'm looking at the total situation. And if you watched it like me, you would never be chosen as a juror if you cannot logically, rationally communicate in an understanding way what the hell is happening in the culture that you live in. Now, let me give you an example of what I think is happening in our culture. Street life, you remember that? Street life. We sing about it, don't we? We know that it's Easter weekend and everybody's partying everywhere. So much alcohol flowing. These people are getting loaded. They're not concerned about COVID. Breaking the laws. Preachers breaking the laws. Everybody's breaking the law. Nobody has to follow anybody. That's the kind of a culture that we live in, because there are no more absolutes. You can't tell me that this is right or this is wrong. And every time somebody says something or does something, everybody starts, Black Lives Matter. Well, why don't somebody say Asian Lives Matter? I saw a black man attack an Asian lady, a 65-year-old Asian lady, kicking her repeatedly, And I saw what looked like white men inside of the lobby of a building where this Asian lady was being kicked, and nobody went out to help her. Matter of fact, they were trying to protect the door from, I guess, the kicker to get in to stop them from kicking them. Oh, we've lost our minds. Everything is on a reverse ramp here. When you get on a roller coaster, you're supposed to sit in the car and follow where the first car takes you and then follow the ride. But now the ride's going every which way but down the coaster chute. That's the kind of a world I live in. That's the kind of a world that you live in. You're a cop. You showed up at the job, right? You're putting on your blue uniform, your badge, your leather boots, your straps, your whistles, your officer's notebook. You're checking your equipment because they got radios and they got to be charged. Weapons are signed out to you like shotguns with shells. There's a count on those shells. You got to turn them in at the end of watch. You have to count for everything that the city, which are your employers, calls you to do. You went through extensive police training in the academy, taught how to catch a suspect, hold a suspect, retain a suspect, and give a suspect or a non-suspect an order. Because when the city that you work for gives you that shield and that club and that gun and that leather and that shiny badge and everything else, the buttons and the glory that goes with it, don't you just love it when a black and white unit goes down the street and it's packed with shotguns and flares and things like that to protect you citizens that pay your taxes? Does that make you happy? Or would you like to live in a city like Los Angeles without any police in it? Oh, we can get real. Now, listen, it ain't about no Black Lives Matter. I'm black, and my life matters, but if a cop gives me an order, I'm going to follow that order, whether I like the cop or not, whether I care for what color he is, what his background is. I respect what that badge stands for, and if I don't respect what that badge stands for, I need to get the hell up out of this country and go somewhere else where I can respect it. Now, let's keep this real, right? Because you've been watching the trial like me. You've been watching it close? I had the privilege to watch today's madness with two men. A friend of mine that has MS, he comes by to visit me. We stay apart. We have a cup of coffee and lunch together, and we talk. He was by, and another man was by. And both of these men are cleared of COVID, just like I am, because I don't have a bunch of company coming around me doing that. But they were by, and they said, oh, the trial is on. Let's watch it. And I said, what? And they said, let's watch it. I said, really? You're going to watch this trial with me? Okay, you're going to watch it with PJ. All right. Because, see, I watched it yesterday, and I saw how the paramedic lady let the defense team try to tear her up in words and get her crying. And, you know, watching this stuff. And yesterday I was explaining to someone that I was watching it with, and today, before we start to watch it, I said, okay, I'll watch it with you if you watch it and allow me to tell you what the hell is going on, because I was under the impression by knowing these people, like I know people, that you can watch something and not even know what you're looking at. You can watch something and you may not necessarily know how to correspondingly respond in a positive way to what you're seeing. I was pointing out to the man that George Floyd is not the issue. He's dead. And any matter of anything will not bring him back. But the reason that we are watching this is to get some facts. But I said you have to listen. While we were watching this, and we watched the whole thing until it went off the air, and as is my way, I asked the black man that's watching this with me, tell me what just took place. What did you see? Did you see any overt racial, racism, hatred towards one person? And who was the person that we watched all day that was crying, belly aching, giving excuses, talking about why he couldn't do certain things? A grown man. And do you think that the police is supposed to listen to people when they talk like that, when they make statements such as that? I did hear the officers asking, Mr. Floyd, what are you on? What did you take? And if you know anything about drugs, and I do, I'm not green to all this stuff. I know what goes on. I've been dealing with people in life. I'm not living under a shell. Oh, how could they take drugs? Oh, that's evil. No, they're not evil. It's a high that causes you to escape from the dilemma of life that you're in. Now, let's talk about this dilemma of life. You can't find a decent job other than turning chicken over in a fast food place. I find it interesting that they had on the stand testifying these people working in fast food places. Oh, my goodness. Come on. But I'm listening to the testimony. I'm listening to the testimony of the educated people. I'm listening to the testimony of the uneducated people. And I can tell the uneducated people, because the uneducated people could barely understand what the attorneys was asking them. And repeatedly kept mumbling. I remember when I was a young preacher, and I used to teach preachers in homiletics, and I used to say, let your yes be yes and your no, no. But to have to continuously tell someone to do that, and not just the blacks, the whites too. We are in trouble when it comes to being a nation of mind. In other words, thinking logically. That's what drugs does, or that's what misinformation will get you. Misinformation. Some of the word is going on out there that if they don't find that policeman guilty and give him something like that, that they're going to wish they had. I used to talk like that too until I saw the trial today. And, you know, I had kind of mixed emotions, and I said, wait a minute, they're going to show everybody what's on these body cams? And I said, now that's a positive thing. Because we'll be able to see what really went on. While we were watching it, some of the men were looking at their phone and talking, and I had to holler at them and tell them, stop that, cut that off. You're not watching the trial. If you watch the trial, you have to hear everything that's said. You have to see everything that's done in order for you to gain a clear understanding. Or you're going to find yourself following the stupid hood herd instinct where because he's black and you black, you got to defend the color of skin. So, you want to know how sick I am of that line. Because when I saw, you know what? I had a lot more respect for Mr. Floyd before I saw everything that I saw today. Okay? That's why I'm making this cast. And I'm not concerned about popularity. You can take this or leave it. Come by and shoot me. I don't, you know, I'm not a white man. I'm a black man, but I know stupidity when I see it. Get in the back seat of the car. We know what the original call was about. That call was not hardy enough to take somebody's life. That's what the trial is all about. Did they go too far in restraining a man who it is now very clear to me, if you know any, because I've seen people on drugs. And I know the strength potential that these people have. That man was over 6'5". He weighed some weight. And indeed, he was a gentle soul. He was sounding like that as he first began to try to bring forth this homily on why they shouldn't put him in the car. But it is protocol to put you in a controlled environment if a fake bill is passed and you try to get away with it. Now, that's the issue. That is against the law. I don't care what color you are, whether you're poor, whether anything. If you break the law will come and get. Did you ever see Judge Dredd? I am the law. Yeah, right. Now, let's get back to the brass tacks. I lost respect for the man because I would not have carried on that way. Mr. Coleman, yes. Put your hands behind you. Okay. I'm not going to ask him why is he doing that. He's taking me in custody. Why? Because he is an enforcer of the law. I didn't do anything against the law. You don't have to. Do what you are told. Now, the first sign of a citizen, I don't care what color you are, and you black folk that are boiling right now, you can boil over the top. This cast wasn't made for you. This cast was made for people that has logic tied into their lives. People that won't follow the herd instinct. If you see a bunch of wild horses running madly towards the cliff and you're a horse, are you going to join the brigade? Yes. Instinctively, you're going to follow them smelly old animals and go where they go. Well, I'm not a horse. I'm a human. And I don't do logic that way. I want to know, what did George say? What did George do? What did the cops say? What did they do? Yes, I heard the cop cursing at him, telling him with some strong language, get up, get over there. They're trying to say, follow instruction. I recall a couple of years ago, an Indian guy and grandfather or something walking down the street, and the cop jumps out the car and tries to holler orders at him. The Indian man didn't even speak the language, and the cop ended up shooting him, making him brain dead or something. That was wrong. Because the police officer made an assumption of something and then responded with legal force after the wrong assumption. That cop, of course, is no longer on the force because you can't do that. That was an error in judgment. But this isn't what we're talking about now. We're not talking about an error in judgment. We're talking about we've told you repeatedly to do this, and every day these cops go to work, and they put on that blue, and they put up with these people. You may argue and say, well, they should be able to take that stuff. That's what we pay them for. Oh, no, no, no. Sometimes a human psyche can crack. It can break. I recall when I worked for the LAPD, there was a policeman. I'm glad I forgot his name. He was a young officer, not too long on the force. He dreamed about becoming a police officer, only to come to find out that after he became an LAPD officer, that he contracted cancer. Yes. And what he did after he got cancer is he announced to... he tickles me. He announced to his troop that he has cancer, and he went up to the top of the station up there where they have the track where they exercise, and he took his service revolver and put a bullet in his head and killed himself. That's what he did. And so cops have a mental health problem. Well, you know, I really want to apologize for the interruptions, but, you know, people always calling me up. So anyhow, let's go back to it. When you consider everything that a law enforcement officer has to put up with, has to do, there's a certain amount of stress that comes with that job. And, of course, that stress, like, I don't experience it. I have people, like, just what happened. This webcast has been interrupted 8 times since I started it, okay? And, you know, it's interrupted again because a person was telling me that he's walking down the street and a black and white unit pulled him over. And I won't go any further than that. And so this is happening all around us. My neighbor was telling me that there was a certain vehicle park near his house, and it was some people in there hiding out with the engines going, with cameras and everything. Man, we live in a police state. You cannot say or do anything without being observed. I'm in the Lucy Coleman studio now. My window's open. I like looking out as I do webcasts at night. And things are going on. Real things. I try to tell people around me, keep everything low-key, because if it's low-key, they don't have a way to look your way. But some of these youngsters, they can't keep nothing low-key. Everything is hyperactive. Now, when you look at what a policeman put up with, as well as what the citizens must put up with, because their lives are just as restrained and restricted as the cop's life is, we're living under a society that is on a bent for destruction. So, what do we do? Do we penalize all law enforcement officers? Do we cut police budgets? No, you crazy. I wouldn't live in Los Angeles without an LAPD or a sheriff's department. You crazy? I wouldn't live here. You? Stop lying, would you? I know better than that. Now, if you said, yes, I would, you're lying. Because that means the fools that are like you that are running the street taking dope, sniffing, snorting, and all this stuff. Did you see some of these, the characters in that city? That they, you know, that one of the young men that was with me, I said, well, look at that. This man dressed in red and white dresses like you. The silly little hats of grown people over 40 and 50 years old dressed like Bozo the Clown. And I think it's important to raise questions like this because people are watching this from all over the world. And I know I'm no senator, no congressman, I'm no movie star or record hip-hop singer, and I'm not a rapper, and I'm just a 77-year-old black man with no job, retired from working. He's worked all of his life, done an honorable thing by being married to one wife, 35 years, raising 2 daughters, doing everything, never been to jail, never had a police record. Never did anything like that. I can speak. I have the right to speak. And I'm saying that I was highly embarrassed the past couple of days by seeing what we've produced in this country on both sides of the fence, white and black together. I'm outraged at it. And I'm saying that if you don't feel a sense of outrage, then you don't know where we should have been. And I know barbiturates is killing more white people than black people. I know that. And I know that the white people are just as ridiculous when their teeth start falling out and they start looking like cock-a-doodle-doo all over the television. Our younger generation seems to be losing a grip to what's going on. Oh, I love it when I look at NPR News and the other news stations talking about the black commanders, African-American, Hispanic-Americans that are captains on barges in the Navy and all of that, that's fine. That's wonderful. But I'm looking at what's happening. I'm looking at what's happening on our streets, in our streets, in the minds of our policemen. Men that's been on the job 10, 15 years just all of a sudden retiring. They can't take it anymore. Trying to take their money and just take their family and move out in the middle of the boonies somewhere. Teach your son how to go hunting for squirrels. You know, show the little girls how to do things that are constructive in their lives instead of bouncing their asses all over the beach every time somebody pops open a can of beer. Spring break, huh? Thank you for not calling it Easter break anymore. It would bring a shame to God. I'm outraged at us as a nation. And then we have the audacity to look at this trial as if trying to defend one side or the other. Have you ever thought about this? That they've already chosen the actor to play George Floyd. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Some black director, screenwriter, or something, they are putting it together now. They're going to make a movie out of this because, they, man, we can make some movie of some money off this thing, man. We can do this thing. Look at this. You got an element of comedy involved in it. You got some honesty involved in it. You got one side against the other. You got the racial tension. You got all those things. Oh, yeah, I see it all. I sense it. That's why I'm in the studio and I haven't done anything because I'm saying this is total insanity. But they had to do it because they're trying to protect commerce. They're trying to protect commerce. I ask myself often, and as often as I do, I come up with no answer. So, John, what do you do? Because I know young men in the black community that many of you that listen to me wouldn't give a dime for their lives. A dime. Sometimes I ask myself, I say, why am I still concerned? I remember the last time an LAPD officer was by my house and he says, Mr. Coleman, how long are you going to do this? I said, man, until I die. I said, man, what you have to do is you have to reach people. There was no reaching of Mr. Floyd. There was no reaching. The drugs took away his ability. When they look at the tox, whatever report, tox. You know what I'm trying to say. See if he was toxified, toxed up on some stuff. What did you take? What was in his system? But some people wouldn't even believe that. You think that the police is trying to frame him on that. For what reason would they have to frame him? He's dead. When the lieutenant was giving all the things about the radio and everything, I thought that because when I turned on the TV, he was testifying. And I thought that the defense had him speaking, but no, he was speaking for the state. And I said, wait a minute, this man isn't for the defense. This man is giving brass tacks facts about radios and cameras and when they're turned on. And when he explained that monster of a machine that all these videos go in and they can call it, did you see him in the courtroom calling up a particular video clip from the number of the police unit? That's how concise this is, people. This isn't a game, it's us against you. And I know that a lot of us believe in conspiracy theories. There are certain conspiracy theories that are out there, but not about this. This was rampant refusal to follow the instruction of a law enforcement officer when repeatedly given that instruction. And then, unless the person was qualified as a real crazy person at that point, and then the person began to act like and to show disturbing features. That Floyd was acting like a man that was perturbed out of his mind. If anything, they should have called a pet squad and said, wait a minute, this man is acting uncontrollable here. We don't want this to get out of hand. But you know what? I saw what happened. You did too. We saw why that cop kept his foot on that man's, or that leg on that man's neck. Nobody else wants his head. I'm going to tell you what I saw. I'm going to tell you what I saw. I saw some cops that are tired of hitting them streets every day, putting up with this crap over and over and over again. Have you ever walked to the store late in the hood How many times have you been stopped and asked for money? And don't let them have the wrong attitude when you tell them that you're not going to give them anything to suffice their appetite, because they think that, you know, you were put on this planet to take care. Hey, brother, you got a dollar? Yeah, I got it, but I'm not giving it to you. What are you doing grown asking me for a dollar for? Yeah, bro, you know, I know you. You know me. That doesn't give you carte blanche for you to do me as such and things like that. When do we come to that point in our nation when we allow these things to take place like this? When will we come to the point when we stop allowing things like Black Lives Matters and other people's agenda to rock our boat? Yeah, if you've never been approached, that's why, you know, we used to have this saying in the Black community, you know, when a white woman walking down the street and see a couple of Black men coming her way, she grasped hold to her purse real tight. Well, ask the Asian woman that got knocked in the head by the Black man. I know she wasn't expecting that. Do I hear the Black community outraged over that? Do I hear it? Why not? Where are the Black attorneys going to the defense of the Asian lady that got knocked in the head? A little one-sided to me, a little hypocritical. You see, certain stations and networks only let you hear what they want you to hear, and this is the way they control you and keep you in their dialectic trap, because it is convenient for them to keep you in that particular dialectic track. And while you are in that track, it keeps you from thinking on the right track, because you're thinking on, you know, we label it leftist or the right or the conservative, the Republican, the Democrat, and all that stuff. Nah, you know what? There's only two ways to view this thing, right and wrong. I was doing some study on religions because, as you know, I am a professed first century Christian. I don't go by the name of Christian because of what the connotation means in this country now. To be a Christian means that I'm a bigot, that I'm against gays, that I'm against people's free right, that if you don't think like I think, if you don't walk like I walk, talk like I talk, then you all going to hell, and there's only a few of us going to heaven, and it's just the little wee's, and the majority of the people are going to hell. I don't think like that. That's a lunatic's frame of reference. Truly a lunatic. I am not a lunatic. I've never thought like that. I shall never think like that. But I just want to share something with you in case you get it twisted. I think that there is an odd thing going on in the world that you're living in. There's nothing strange going on in the world. Solomon put it this way. There's nothing new under the heavens. Everything that was supposed to happen is happening, and it's going to continue to happen. If you're looking at the trial, are you listening to it? Are you paying attention to it? Are you looking at human behavior? Are you thinking like a juror? Because the jurors were chosen because they cannot go there saying, well, I'm Black, so I got to side with the Black man. That sounds like the O.J. Simpson trial result. Remember that? A number of years ago, the whites were outraged, but they weren't outraged when the white cops were beating poor Rodney to death. But Rodney was a big, strong man with strong melanin, and he didn't die. And he was the one that coined that famous term, can't we all just get along? You remember that? Of course we do. And now we're in a new era. Cameras and seeing everything. Now, I'm telling you, this is the way this thing works for those of you that don't know why they've been putting up these satellite dishes and all these other things all over the cities like that. Because they can record the demise of the civilization. Because George's life was recorded and the demise of his life. What caused him to lose his life? His failure to obey a command. Now, I know this sounds weird to a lot of you. 34 minutes into the webcast, you come to Pastor John's website. I may not be a preacher behind the pulpit, but if I was, I'd preach this on Sunday morning to try to help the young people in my congregation live. I remember each Sunday when I would get up and preach to that packed room at the Vet down there at 976 East Jefferson Boulevard in Los Angeles. It was young couples listening to me, young men with young babies, young men just getting started. And I told them, there's a day coming when you're going to see the result of not listening to this message. You're going to see the result coming in your lives in living time and color right in front of you, what a lack of obedience to authority is all about. Now the women are trying to say, well, it's our turn to rule. No, you rule like mama. I don't want mama ruling me. I need daddy putting a boot up my ass if I don't do what I'm told to do. That's the only kind of a force that a man understands. Talking to a man like he's a psych job. Oh, Jethro, we know how you feel. Oh, no, you don't know how I feel. I haven't worked in 3 years. I've been on welfare. I feel like the cookie monster used by the system. So why do I take the dope? I take the dope to escape. To escape what I'm looking at, because I don't see no way out of this madness that this society has me in. And please, don't present to me your God and your religion, because the religious folk just want to send us to a scorching hell. And now it appears that law enforcement just wants to snuff us out. That's what happened. See, when a cop sees it like that, and he puts up with it every day, and then you say, well, why didn't that policeman stop him? Do you remember in the trial what the lady that worked as an ambulance driver was told? He said, I can't believe that you are what you are, and you saying what you saying. He was saying to her, you know what these streets are about, and you know what we're about, and you know what we have to put up with, and this is just another clown ceremony. But the officer took it upon himself to keep his leg on George's neck. That's what makes it murder. Now, I don't know what degree. We'll let the judge and the jury come up with that. Now, I'm saying that because the man can't walk. Because it didn't take all that to... He was cuffed. He was down. He wasn't performing any harm. If anything, those are the liveliest reasons why he should have eased up. Now, I don't know when they're going to say he died from... After they put him on the cart, after they put the cart in the ambulance, after they went a block, I don't know. I would seem to think that he was dead right there. Because when a man stops talking and stops telling you how he's feeling, he is unconscious. And in this sense, it's like Mr. Williams said, I witnessed a murder. That's what he witnessed. He witnessed a murder. Let's judge the murder. But did George Floyd, or could George Floyd, have avoided this end? I know this is very difficult for some of you to come to it, because I brought this to the men that were in my home today. I said, damn it, you in my home. I'm the oldest one in the room. I ain't thinking like no kid. I ain't getting in no line talking about no Black Lives Matter. Man, what was in his system? How come he didn't obey? We are taught to obey law enforcement. This isn't the first time George was picked up by the cops. You can tell that in his language. He's talking with him. He told him. He even told him, I'm not that kind of a guy. I'm a gentle person. Yeah, but you are resisting following that order. And a counterfeit bill was given, something illegal. Those are some of the things that people in that situation under the influence do. I know. I live in the hood. I live amongst people like that. I've been in their homes. I visited them. I pastored in the hood. Well, I said a lot. Man, this is a good microphone. I hear on this microphone, motorcycles spinning out in street corners in circles, which is illegal in this city. And when the helicopter comes over the area, they take off and go to another area. I know personally one young man that was on a motorcycle on Crenshaw Boulevard. During that one night, he was a fine soldier, one of the elite soldiers, a Marine. I won't tell you what his job was, but he's dead today because he was out there doing that stuff on Crenshaw Boulevard, and a person was coming out of their driveway in a van. You hear them motorcycles? And that motorcycle with that young man on it ran dead into the side of that van, killed him instantly. Instantly. And I still hear him out there. Now, why won't they listen to law? That's the kind of world that we're living in, because no one wants to listen to anybody telling them what to do. So as you look at the rest of this trial, I wonder, are you going to be looking at it, and are you going to be thinking with logic? Are you going to be thinking with some Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter? Are you going to be on the opposite end? You ought to kill all the black people, kill all the melanin. No, you don't want to do that. You'll be taking care of some of the cream of the crop, brother, and you don't want to do that, because you'll be killing some of me out there unnecessarily, and that's not cool. What do we do? Man, listen, it seems like they're coming closer to me. Yeah, because they go right up and down that street there, West Boulevard, Crenshaw. And, you know, we're gentrified over here now. That means we have a lot of white people moving in the neighborhood, and white people get on the neighborhood apps and, what's going on? What's all this noise? What's all this? Hey, baby, welcome to the hood. Well, I just thought that I'd give that. I do believe in petitioning God. You know what? I'm going to say something, and some of you are not going to like me. I don't care. We need to ask God's favor on these young men and women to get in these cars and get out there and deal with these citizens in our community. We need to offer up some timbers for them. We need to pray for them. I'm not talking about the ones that's out there choking and killing and poisoning and looting and stealing and selling dope to the dope dealers and then locking. I'm not talking about them. I remember the old Rampart LAPD. I remember those days. You ever want to see a movie? It's called Training Day with Denzel Washington. I'm not talking about that. That's the scum that needs to be scraped up off the street. I'm talking about a young man, a young woman out there, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever it is. Get out there working every day to make some money to feed his babies. Yeah, they become hardened by what they see in the street, hardened by what they have to put up with. I looked at the black cop that was in this thing on trial here. I think his partner's body cam was on him when they were trying to put Floyd in the back seat of the car when they brought him back across the street. And the expression on the black cop's face is what got me, because he was saying, I don't want to do this same old mess again. He had the expression on his face. Did you watch the trial? Are you watching it? Because if you're watching it, you would see what I see. And you know why you can't see it? Because you have racial hatred embedded in your filthy heart. And unless you rid yourself of that disease, that same disease in the end of your life will judge you. And I will be happy for that judgment to take place. I'm not wondering if calm hearts will take over and take care of our society when things get rough. I guess I have to live to see whether we have the sense enough to be truthful with ourselves. So you come to your own conclusion. I've already come to mine. The man with the knee on the neck should be severely punished for what he did. And the officers that stood by, and even though, because you see, when you look at that black officer, and he looked like that, this is what I told a man that was at my house. I said, did you see that look on his face? That was the spirit of his grandma telling him, you know that ain't right. You know it's not right, and you know you don't have no business being part of that. I saw it on the cop's face. Not on the Asian cop. The Asian cop was so far removed from it because they expect to see that in our community all the time. It's a way. That's why the black man attacked the Asian lady, because Asian people do not have tolerance with people that act like that. In other countries, they get rid of those people. Look at Malaysia these days and see what they're doing over there. See how they went in the streets and shot down the citizenry, killed them on the spot. That may come to our country. I pray that it doesn't. But if it does, you better watch that trial and stop looking at it through White Lives Matter or Black Lives Matter. Look at that thing and feel what each of those officers felt. Well, I know that they wish they can go back in time and just turn the clock back. And that's not the first time this happening. Black politicians, black leaders, black people, like myself, have been telling you that's been happening for years, for decades, for centuries to black people. And the mess is still going on. But it doesn't justify it. So continue to watch this wonderful trial with me and continue to come to my website to listen to my leadings. I'm sorry for rambling on so much and for being so late, but I had to do that. I had to say the right things at the right time. God bless you, and thank you for coming to my site.